brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's because it's about the only thing on at 2 a.m.
Thank God.
I know.
Yeah, makes us number one.
No competition.
Yeah, exactly. Small pool. Rather be the big fish in a small pool. So, well, this is a one-hour show.
Not entertaining for an hour, though.
No.
It's an hour show. It's an hour show. Those were facts.
We could do it naked, and it's still not going to be entertaining. It's, yeah.
It might be a scary show.
It might be repulsive.
Yeah. It might be actionable, I think, would be the word. All right. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
I like the assortment of hockey pucks in the area. It's a very nice addition to the basement.
What was, reminds me of the comedian. What, called everybody a hockey puck. Oh, God, I can see his face. CPO Sharky.
What are you
Rickles,
talking
Don
about?
Rickles. He called everybody a hockey puck. Don't
seriously?
You yeah.
I know who Rickles is.
How
I
mean, old are you?
You're not that much older than me, dude.
Jesus.
He's a legend. He's
I actually paid attention. You. Yeah. Everything's younger than him. I could cut him in half. I couldn't count the rings.
That's because they're brown.
Yeah. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here in the basement. I love what you did with the hay on the floor. It's like you're expecting somebody to come graze.
Street hockey.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we're dealing with horses today. Thoroughbreds.
They're eating hay. And good old boy, Justin.
Hey, good morning, eh?
I think that's his really sad accent for Canada.
Very sad accent for Canada.
I'd like to apologize. To our friends in Canada, to Terrence and Philip in particular, because that's just sad. I mean, and to Celine Dion. So, dear God, help us all. And good old boy, Harmeet.
Thanks for having me, Bob. This is my Canadian accent because I lived in Canada and was a citizen from the time I was 3 till I was 13 years old.
Until they figured it out and cast you out.
Did you get deported, eh?
We moved to America, and now I'm American, but... They took a while before I got a
Jesus
season.
Christ.
I know.
Let's be honest.
I lived in Winnipeg, man. I'm looking forward to Justin's Canadian accent.
I like nobody's this. Looking forward to Justin's Canadian accent.
Take what off, hoser.
Oh, take God. Off, eh? Hoser.
Hey.
Yeah, this is not looking good. No. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else you can drink. And here's the spirits we're going to be discussing today. So we have from Belfour Spirits, we have their bourbon whiskey finished with Texas pecan wood.
Pecan.
I'm looking right at him.
Pecan is what you pee in on a road trip. A pecan is a wonderful nut you make pralines from.
I'm from the South. It's a mayonnaise jar where I come from. Why would you do it in a can? It doesn't have a lid. Then you knock it over, and it's all over the floor. And then your dad reaches in the back and starts hitting you.
Southern wisdom at its best.
Exactly. It's got a lid on it.
It teaches you balance. You hold the pecan.
Nobody pees in a can.
What are you?
No round peas in a can.
Sitting next to Ralph Macchio over here. Wax on, wax off. Okay.
Well, you know, you really should just use the milk jug. Dear Lord. Use the milk jug.
Also from Belfour Spirits, we've got their rye whiskey. And from Pinhook, we have the Bohemian Bourbon 2020. The Bourbon War 2019, the Bohemian Bourbon High Proof 2020, Tis Rye Time 2020, and Ride On 2020. And from Cream of Kentucky, we have their bourbon batch number 5. So we're going to have, against my better judgment.
You don't have better judgment on
no
this
judgment.
One. There's no judgment. Yep.
I prefer not to insult Canada, but you know, let Justin do it.
it's not gonna work out for us with him.
I disavow any knowledge or responsibility for what's about to come out of Justin's mouth. I'm just putting that on paper right now.
Have you watched any Letterkenny yet? Have you watched any Letterkenny on Hulu? Gotta watch some Letterkenny.
All right. Go ahead. Give us the sips ratings.
Okay. One sip. Hoser, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Now, I just want you to focus right now. Okay, listen.
How's it going, eh?
Okay, that is a Canadian accent, okay?
Very bad sound quality.
Two sips. Nice. What else do you have, huh?
Nobody says, huh? He still sounds like a drunken leprechaun.
Okay, now, listen carefully.
Take off. Take off.
Got it? Okay.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again, Hoser?
Interesting.
That's the thing that people forget. Yeah. Every other sentence should have Hoser in it. Otherwise, people won't think you're Canadian.
Is that really a Canadian term?
It's from Bob and Doug McKenzie on...
Yeah, I'm doing Doug McKenzie, so you got it right.
Yes, there you go.
Don't mess with me. Yeah. I like Fred. I've got a million sound effects.
Very impressive, Bob. Keep going. I tell you. Okay, four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another or take off.
That's classified.
There you go. You got the take off in there? Okay. On five sips, I'm going to give you a pro tip. Everybody in Canada loves Tim Hortons. You got to work that in there.
Whatever. Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good, even Tim Hortons.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Don't you ever make fun of Tim Hortons.
Can I get you beer or back bacon?
There you go.
I got a computer full, man.
You know what I do miss in Canada when you go get pretty much every restaurant? I remember seeing malt vinegar on the tables for your fries. Nobody does that here.
Mm. Right. There's a couple places here. You got to search it out, though. Mm.
And poutine.
Five Guys, actually.
Yeah, poutine's, that's Quebecois. I was from Manitoba, man. Hey. I've never
first
poutine guy.
Time I went to Scotland. I'm in Glasgow by myself. I want to get something to eat. Don't feel like going to a sit-down restaurant by myself. I'm walking down the street. I see a Five Guys. Like, really? Seriously. So I'm going to go get a Five Guys so I can take a picture and send it back to my boys because they'll get a kick out of it. So I go in there, and then when I go up to the little thing there with the cups with the ketchup, there's the big thing of ketchup, and then there's like a 5-gallon pump tub of mayonnaise because I love Scotland, but dear Lord. The life expectancy's got to be like 48
there. That's just bad, dude.
I mean, how can you eat fries with mayonnaise?
I kind of understand.
But 48 years in Scotland's like 100 years in Kentucky. So,
dear Lord. Yeah. All right, so let's have Brent tell us about our first whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to be talking about Belfort Spirits, and it's the creation of Hockey Hall of Famer and the Stanley Cup champion, goalie Ed the Eagle Belfort.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a legend.
Dang right.
After an amazing 20-year career in the NHL, Mr. Belfort began work on his next career of building a whiskey brand. Working along his son and his daughter, it is truly a family business. For Ed Belfort, hockey is just the beginning of the legacy he wishes to leave. He left a pretty good one in hockey.
Yeah, all right.
So this first spirit
is Stanley Cup winner, man.
Yeah. This is the Belfort Spirits Bourbon Whiskey, finished with Texas Pecan Wood, 92 proof, 46% ABV, non-age stated. This expression was inspired by a 300-year-old oversized pecan tree on the Belfort Ranch in North Texas. This bourbon was first aged in American white oak barrels and then spent extra time mellowing with added staves of this Texas pecan wood.
Did they cut down the 300-year-old tree and make staves?
Well, I don't think that staves are from that tree. Inspired by or sacrificed for the tree.
They didn't sacrifice the old tree. You know?
No, they went to California and chopped down a giant redwood.
That's right.
That's what they did.
The Texas redwood tree.
Yeah, exactly.
But nice light color on this. It hasn't quite fully developed the deepness.
It's a light copper.
Yeah. Looks nice and stuff. On the nose, you get some roasted nuts. I get a little bit of mint. And I get a little bit of hot pepper. I mean, a lot of hot pepper, I should say.
Nothing like the next one.
Well, clear. You know.
You definitely get a little cayenne on the palate.
On the palate, you get some butterscotch, a little bit of creme brulee, and you get this warming jalapeno that just covers your mouth. It just coats your mouth. It's like You wonder what if they actually got that right from the pecan wood, if that's what it turned it like this.
I'm wondering what causes that. Bob, you smoke with pecan wood. The pecan doesn't impart this pepper,
it's like they...
Yeah, it does.
A little bit. Yeah, it gives it some spice.
A little bit of spice to it, but I mean, you just don't expect it like this.
The bark of the brisket you make from pecan wood, it's going to have this cayenne thing going on.
It's different, you know. And the finish, it's a little bit, you get some smoky vanilla, but you still get that spice. You get that warmingness, right? You know, just coat your mouth and it just lingers on. So, really enjoyed this. It's different. It's unique. There's nothing else like it out there on the market, this.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not something I'm going to say, okay, I have to rush out and I have to buy it right now, you know, but it is, I like what they've done to it.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting what they've done to it. So,
you didn't get chocolate on this, Brent? It's good old boy Harmeet. I'm getting chocolate.
I got no chocolate.
On the nose.
I think you're having a carb craving, Harm.
I might be having
Carb craving.
There's a hint of chocolate. All that pepper he was talking about is there. There's pecan wood, like that. To me, it smells more of the nuttiness. But maybe I just don't know the pecan wood. Maybe I'm getting more of the nuttiness rather than the wood because I don't really smoke with pecan. But it's smooth. It's got that creme brulee. It's got that sweetness. But on the finish, it's all about that spice and smoke.
It's like a direct jalapeno finish. It really is.
It was more red pepper when we opened the
bottle.
Right. And it's the oxygen. Now it's more green jalapeno.
I find the next expression has much more jalapeno than this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that one's not used in pecan wood, so it makes me wonder.
That's right.
The information I got is what I got. So.
Right.
So. Well, we're going to rate this one 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished tasting the Belfort Spirits bourbon whiskey, finished in Texas pecan wood, and we gave that 2 sips, bordering on 3. Very interesting whiskey. Again, like Brent said, never had anything quite like it. I mean, sometimes you say that and you go, I never had anything like it. Well, you know, this is...
And
this
I don't
is,
want anything like it. No,
yeah, this
is not like that.
Honestly,
we want to revisit this one.
This is very interesting. And I think given a few more years, this could really turn into something. So let's go on to our next spirit from Belfort, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The Belfort Spirits rye whiskey is 90 proof, 45% ABV. The color is a little bit deeper than the previous one, with nice burnished copper. And the nose is, this is a weird whiskey. It's unique, just like the last one. So it's, I don't know what to say. At first, when we first poured this whiskey, all I smelt was cayenne and high acid. I was like, is there Tabasco in my whiskey? I mean, I've been known to add Tabasco to whiskey. People have been known to do that. It's a thing, apparently. But this is... not something I've had
an Indian
rye.
Thing or what
it's
kind
a
of thing
freaking
is?
Southern thing. You know, George Dickel makes a Tabasco flavored whiskey too.
That I know.
Yeah, I'm not drinking it.
It's the only time I've seen.
Might put it in chili.
This smells like this has been seasoned with some chili, but it's crazy. It was like all about cayenne, and
then it evolved.
The cayenne blew off. Yeah,
it changed. But so right now, I'm getting caramel and vanilla. but peppers as well. Dark chocolate.
Yeah, I definitely get
caramel, vanilla. But before, I never got any caramel first. I didn't get any vanilla. I'm not getting those.
Still not getting
the rye notes that I'm used to. Like the rye notes are usually the types of rye I like have citrus, but there's no citrus here. This is very different, more like bourbony notes with peppers. And I don't understand where that's coming from. Is this also? We don't know if this has also been finished with pecan wood or not.
I don't know.
We don't believe it was finished with
any wood. So, I would think if it was, they would have mentioned it on the label, but I don't know.
On the palate, the citrus I was missing on the nose comes back. I got orange and vanilla, and then jalapenos. What the hell? Jalapenos.
Major jalapenos.
Yeah. And the finish is pretty long.
Even though they burned off on the nose, it still comes through on the palate.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Yeah. But it's not the red cayenne Tabasco thing I was getting before.
Right.
This is
no. It's green. Definitely switched to a green vegetal jalapeno.
Where is this coming from?
This is more. The first one was more the vegetal kind of raw jalapeno. This is more like cooked jalapeno. It's a little bit more of the spice and not as green to me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. It's more sweet.
Yeah.
The sweetness of the peppers
there. It's still that jalapeno spice, but it's
what? What are they doing? I want to visit these people, find out what's going on.
Honestly, I like this one.
Yeah, you would almost think it would be reversed because this is like a sweeter and you would expect it spicier. And the other one had a little bit more, you know, so they're almost reversed in a way.
Yeah. But again, like he said, the pepper died down a bit on the
Justin,
nose.
Justin, what do you think? What happened there for you?
I want to pair this with chili.
I know.
I think it's
I want to pair
really
going to
work. And it's going to be better than some of its nachos. Parts. That's what I think.
What doesn't pair with chili? Come on, chili, a little cheddar, tot tops.
Yeah, but chili, save the heat cake, because you got the heat with the whiskey. Anything.
But it's really not heat. It's really jalapeno flavor more than heat.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
I'm getting some heat on the finish. There's some heat on the finish.
Yeah, I'm getting a little
spice. It's not going to tear you up, but it's going to be a nice compliment.
My head's not sweating and my nose isn't running, but it's got some. There's some there.
Yeah, it's a very unique spirit, I must admit. It makes you wonder whether they once had a jalapeno farm on the property or whether or not there's something in the distillation process that they're picking up these esters.
In the terroir.
Yeah.
I don't know, but a very interesting whiskey. So our rating for the Belfort Spirits rye whiskey is going to be 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to go to Justin, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the folks from Pinhook.
All right. So pinhooking is a term used in the thoroughbred industry to describe the annual practice of purchasing yearling horses, training them, and reselling them as race-ready two-year-olds.
It's called flipping horses. There's a show on TLC, I think.
Yeah. I get mine in the warehouse sales,
Rather than blending barrels to create a standard flavor profile for the brand, each year the folks at Pinhook release a new vintage of bourbons and ryes blended from the best barrels available at that moment in time, with each bottling dedicated to a promising young thoroughbred.
Yeah, these are real horses, by the way. These are horses that they're one of the partners in this company is actually a guy who does this.
In the horse business. Two businesses that frequently lose money. This guy's brave. Through a combination of careful barrel selection, blending in small batches, and meticulous proofing, each Pinhook vintage has a personality as unique as the horse on the label. Since their establishment, like many startups, they source barrels from MGP in Indiana. However, for the last few years, they've been contract distilling using their own proprietary mash bills at Castle & Key Distillery. And if you've never been to Castle & Key, it is beautiful. It used to be the old Taylor Distillery. So our first bourbon that we're getting into is the Pinhook Bohemian Bourbon, 2020, 95 proof, or 47.5 alcohol by volume, and no, I didn't do the math myself.
It's on the paper.
Non-chill filtered, no age statement, 75% corn, 15% rye, and 10% malted barley. Contract distilled for Pinhook at Castle & Key, the historic Old Taylor Distillery.
Stuff that Justin already knew, but now he's reading off the script for you. he already told you this because he was jumping ahead.
This is the first bourbon to be released from Castle & Key since Old Taylor was closed in 1972, ironically the year I was born. A total of 100 barrels were blended and proofed by Sean Josephs, Pinhook's co-founder and master taster, to create this bourbon.
There was nothing ironic about that. That's just coincidence.
Right.
It's coincidentally the year you were born.
So, color of this is a nice light brown on the nose. Orange peel, candied pecans, clove. On the palate, I got tropical fruit notes and caramel. And on the finish, almond and cinnamon. And it was pretty pleasant. What did you think, Harm?
Well, to me, this is weird because I've done this whiskey before. I've done a bunch of these Pinhooks in a Zoom event we did. Because we can't do tastings in the stores anymore. So we do everything on Zoom. And one of the master taster actually joined us from Castle and Key. Or actually, he was in somewhere else.
New Orleans.
He was in New Orleans. That's right. That's right, Bob. Bob was there. And it tastes a little bit different from the first one. I think this just didn't get enough air. But I didn't get the nose. You hit the nose what normally I would get. But for me, the nose didn't come through like this time. It was like, it smelled younger. I'm getting more of the nuttiness. It's all about almonds. Almonds and a little bit of tropical fruit and a tiny bit of spice. I was surprised. This one's muted.
Much as I hate to admit it, I would agree with you 110% on this.
It's almonds, muted, right?
Muted nose, yeah. Almonds, a little bit of hint of tropical fruit, hint of spice. It's pleasant. It's interesting. It's a little bit young for my palate. For me, it just needs a little more time, and I think it may evolve pretty nicely. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just pleasant.
Maybe it needs more air because
you need to add water.
Add water? Yeah, there you go.
It definitely opens it up.
Because the thing is, when we did this, what we do is we mail out little 30 milliliter samples of everything. So I think we did 8 bourbons that day, 8 bourbons and ryes.
Yeah.
And everybody got a little 30 milliliter sampler, but, you know, I filled the bottles like a week before.
Yeah, the orange peel pops.
Oh, yeah, the water makes all the difference.
Orange peel pops, the clove pops on the nose.
Yeah.
And it's not just caramel, it's like dulce de leche. Once you put some water in it, it's just tongue coated.
This is the thing. And you know what? I can't believe I didn't put water this time. I usually do.
I might have put a little too much water. Is there any left?
Here's socially. Smell this. Just smell. Smell mine.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot more going on with the water.
Find the bottle.
It opened it up a lot.
Find the bottle. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So this is where it's at. Now, this is what I remember. Because when we did this tasting, this was something I was really impressed by. Because these are younger whiskeys, but they're really well done. Yeah. Brett?
It's very well done. And as you said, the water really brings everything out in it. With a couple drops of water, just pushes this right to your palate.
What a rookie mistake I made. I'm the one who's always advocating for water. I didn't even do it.
And the thing about the finish is that the finish, you know, I know this can't be too old. I mean, just a few years old. But the finish just lingers on, which is something that
I get with all of theirs.
Yeah.
All of the stuff I've had from Pinhook always has a good finish.
You can't believe that you can get... I believe this is a 4-year-old whiskey. I don't think it's 5 yet.
But what does it mean on the label, Crop 2020? Does that not mean it was distilled in 2020?
Every year they make a new batch.
Every year there's a new batch. They let you know. So this is basically vintage age bourbon.
You're welcome, Justin. He was listening close to you. Yeah.
No, that I know, but the question
crop,
is...
Crop 2020 means this is the 2020 release. Not the harvest of the barley. The release of
and
the barley.
Next year, they will make a new blend, and it'll be the 2021. And it'll probably have a different name because it'll have a different horse.
Every label has a different horse, which is a real horse either they own or they like.
I'm sorry I talked to Sean on the phone for probably an hour, and I'm sorry, Sean, but I forget who the gentleman is, but the guy who does these drawings, I think he's an illustrator for the New York Times. A fairly famous guy and obviously a pretty dang good artist because, I mean, the drawings are...
They're beautiful.
Just the light and shading gorgeous. Are amazing. Well,
the packaging is gorgeous, and I love the fact that they all have a different color wax, and the wax picks up the label. The packaging's beautiful.
They're all pastel color. It's like a pastel color pattern on all of them.
Well, we can even get moving because we got a bunch to go. So we are going to be giving the Pinhook Bohemian Bourbon 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're moving on to the next one. Let's have Maury tell us about that one.
I think that we might actually get better than three sips. That's we need to.
Yeah.
Maury, go. Go.
All right. The Pinhook Bourbon War 2019, 98 proof, 49% ABV, 4 years, 75% corn, 20.5% rye, and 4.5% malted barley. The first bourbon release of Pinhook's Vertical Series, each year for the next 9 years, the blender at Pinhook will select 150 barrels to blend for that year's release, starting with this blend of 4-year bourbon and eventually ending the series with a blend of 12-year bourbon.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept.
I love this concept. I think this is great.
Yeah.
Not only are they doing vintage releases, but they're these are not just vintage, but these are the same whiskey aged an extra year. So
cool.
Before we were doing a vintage release, but now we're doing the extra year.
This has a beautiful color, a little bronzy coppery. This got much more going on the nose, a little cedar, a little tropical fruit. I think if you look hard, you can find some butterscotch in there. Mm. On the palate, it's got a nice palate. It's a much more traditional bourbony palate. You've got some roasted nuts, some clove, some spice, a little bit of toffee maybe, brown sugar. It's got a medium finish. I think it's a very nice whiskey. For my palate, it's a little bit of a step up from the previous one. So I liked it. I thought it was well made.
Brett? Bob, what'd you think?
Brett, Justin?
Yeah, this one is on the nose. I actually got a wet forest, you know, because I got some
forest floor or wet forest.
Wet forest.
When you say wet forest, you're talking like a rainstorm, or it's just a very exciting.
He's talking about Gump. Exactly, he's talking about Gump and some things you don't want to know about.
So it's a forest. So it's a forest that's really excited to see you.
It's nice, but you know, one thing about this one that caught me was on the finish. It was a little bit dry with wood tannins, you know, with just a little bit of bitterness to it.
Yeah,
but once you would
get in an older whiskey.
Yeah. Exactly. You'd think it was older when you're tasting it and stuff. Add a little bit of water to it. Again, this one really pops.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just a drop and it opens up.
And the finish just lingers on with this one again.
It's gotten better with air. I must admit, when it was first in the glass, I was not overly impressed, but it's definitely improved.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, when we did this with Sean and online on Zoom, because I'd prepared the samples of, you know, almost a week earlier. They got air, and we tasted them. They were like popping without water. But now with water, they're amazing. They're great. I like it.
Justin, what'd you think?
I think it's really interesting they're going to do each bourbon all the way up to 12 years, because I think a lot of bourbons are going to peak between 6 and 10 years. So you get to
a lot of bourbons peak at 9 max. Yeah, 12 is a lot.
So you're going to see the year that it peaks, and then you're going to see what happens after the peak. So I'm really looking forward to the whole series. I thought this one was very good.
I'm already sold out of this one. I've got number 5. Just came.
This is begging for a vertical.
We're going to be giving the Pinhook Bourbon War 2019 three sips.
Interesting.
All right. For me, bordering on 4, but
yeah, I would go.
All right. So Harm's going to tell us about our next one.
So the Pinhook Bohemian Bourbon High Proof 2020, 114.5 proof. 57.25 ABV, non-age.
The square root of the ABV?
I have a calculator somewhere.
Hey, Google.
What's the square root of 57.25? Yeah. Hey, Alexa. Do you have Alexa in here?
No.
All right, good. She's spying.
Not that woman in my house.
She's spying.
Keep
on you.
Coming.
Let's All go. Right. So, a non-age statement, 75% corn, 15% rye, 10% malted barley. The color is a beautiful reddish gold. The nose is all about brioche for me. Now, I have not added water to this. To me, it's all about brioche and a little bit of lemon and a lot of vanilla. And it's like that buttery pastry thing going on. It's all about toffee and cocoa and almonds. Great, great whiskey. And that was all my notes before I added the water. And right now I'm adding the water and looking at that beautiful louche. This is nice and oily. Now citrus. Tiny bit more citrus comes out. A little more tropical. I actually liked it without the water. I like that high proof. You guys are turning me into a proof hound. You're turning me into a proof hound. I liked it 114.
It's inevitable.
Justin?
I think this tastes like a Jamaican beef patty.
What?
Yeah. It's got all the texture, elements, and notes. of a Jamaican beef patty, mild, not spicy.
I expected a lot from you, but I didn't see that coming.
A Jamaican beef patty.
Jamaican beef patty.
No.
You've got that bready note from the crust?
Is that what's going on? Yeah, I've got the crust.
What
is
the umami? The I don't get the umami from the beef
patty.
I think
it tastes like a Jamaican bobsled, but...
Okay, let's ignore Justin.
Don't Bob, worry, what did be you happy. Think?
Can't think.
Does the internet know you're cheating on it?
I know. Let's combine the pecan. Oh no. The rye from what was that?
Well, the brioche is still there. That pastry is still there, even with the water. It did. I was worried that would go away because I love the nose, but it definitely. It opened up so much. The toffee got bigger. I got tropical fruits. I got some cocoa on it. The almonds and the walnuts.
It's still a little hot on my nose, though.
Yeah.
You know what? If we put the Belfour rye with all the jalapeno and like that Tabasco note with the Jamaican patty.
Yeah, man. Don't worry. Eat patty.
One thing with this one on the nose, when I got the citrus fruits, I wrote down Fruit Loops. It really hit me as Fruit Loops when I first had it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you first poured that,
but yeah, when I first poured it.
When it first came out, yeah, it was like Fruit Loops.
It's kind of mellowed off a little bit, especially after you add the water to it. Yeah. That you just get a little bit of citrus fruit flavor to it, but not as much. But again, the finish on this one, and I have to keep reiterating this, is that these finishes are so much better than you expect from this kind of
long and beautiful and great grip.
Yeah.
Yes. It's, I mean, for a whiskey of the ages that these are, they're definitely outpunch.
Yeah.
It's got legs too.
I get like a roasted lemon on the finish.
Like he said, when you put the water in, you get a little bit of a loosh. There's an oiliness to it. So, I mean, they're running the still right. They're doing a good job. So, you know, hopefully they'll keep sourcing from Castle and Key because their stuff just is.
Well, I'd love to see what it looks like stuff. With a little more age on it.
It's all custom. Right, well, that's what next year's for.
Yeah. That's what next year's for. We're giving the Bohemian Bourbon High Proof 3 sips.
Seriously? 4, man.
I wanted 4.
Ah.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing some lovely whiskeys from the folks at Pinhook. So we're getting on to our next one, which is the Pinhook Tis Rye Time. Let me find it. Isn't it great when you have to look at a pile
if
of
you,
glasses
if you
and figure out which one is
if you underscore this one, Bob, I will cut somebody.
So
I'm
Pinhook
still smelling this.
Tis Rye Time.
You gotta learn how to use a knife.
2020. It's 97 proof, 48.5 ABV, 4 years old, 95 rye and 5 malted barley. The inaugural rye release from Pinhook's Vertical Series. Like the Bourbon Vertical Series, each year for the next 9 years, the blenders at Pinhook are going to select 50 barrels to blend for that year's release, starting with the 4 and working their way up to the 12. So it's got a beautiful color on it. Nice.
Do we know if this is sourced from MGP?
Well, 95.5 gives it away.
I agree. Just asking.
I don't have papers on it, but, you know,
tastes
reasonable
like it.
Guess.
It's got the mintiness, too.
But it's got a nice on the nose. I get a little bit of citrus. Underneath, though, I get this, like right underneath, I get this basis of like blackstrap molasses. At the top note, I get cotton candy. What Harm said, pineapple. I get pineapple big time on the nose.
I didn't say that, except off the air. You're divulging secrets.
And it's got a nice, in the middle, like a nice English toffee. Ugh, and on the palate.
This is so good.
On the palate, again, that molasses really comes through for me. You've got a little bit of a cedar note. Some baking spice. It's got a little bit of a spice on the palate, and again, like all their other stuff, for a 4-year whiskey, a pretty impressive finish. I mean, it doesn't go on and on and on, but
it doesn't taste like anybody else's.
You know, I've had 5-year, you know, rye, plenty of them that don't have, you know, a finish that's any longer. Certainly, so. They're doing good work. So really nice one. What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, this one on the nose, I really got the oranges and the toffee.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a little bit almost overpowering with that, you know. With their mouth feel, it's everything in the middle to your back of your mouth, just so coats it nice and beautiful. You don't expect this. This is not like it's a 95.5 rye. It doesn't have all those rye spices that you have, like overpowering sometimes. Sometimes you get some of those wood tannins at an early stage, or, you know, it hasn't. But this one is very well blended. I like this one.
He's doing a great job with the blending. 50 casks every year, right?
Yeah.
This is 50. The other one was 150.
Yeah, this one for the rye one is 50, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's it's going to be so interesting to see where this goes.
I've seen Brent go through 50 casks in a weekend.
I know.
Big deal.
See, well, Brent, I get a lot of the things that you guys Brent's talk superpower. About more on the palate than the nose. I got that hint of cotton candy weekend? On the palate. The pineapple I got a little on the palate. I got more mint and eucalyptus
I don't
the nose.
Get the cotton candy. That's the only thing I disagree with Bob.
The cotton
on this
candy
one.
I get in teeny the very, bit. Very tip
I
of the nose.
I got a teeny bit on the back of the palate at the very end towards the end of the finish. But I think Justin agrees with me. There's definitely mint. Some mint on the nose.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have
the mint comes out when you put the water in. Put a drop of water in, the mint pops out.
For this one, I've talked about the long finish on these. This one had the shortest finish of all the other ones, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did. But I mean, still for a 4-year rye, I mean, it's
this is still respectable whiskey.
Yeah.
And I want to taste the 5-year. We haven't got the 5-year old yet, but. They're not. This is not part of the vertical series.
I know some store that has the 5-year-old coming in.
I have the I have the 5-year-old vertical already in the bourbon, but this is not part of the vertical. Tis Rye Times is just this release.
No, it's vertical.
What am I thinking?
The second vertical.
I've been drinking. You're right. Yes, the rye is not in. The bourbon is in. We're waiting for the rye. There you go.
You weren't even born with the sense God gave the common dog.
Nope.
You're gonna have to call an Uber for me later.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one. I ain't spending money on you.
He's hypoglycemic. Check your sugar. You're probably around 30 right now.
All right, so we're going to be giving the Pinhook Tis Rye Time 2020 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're moving on to our next one from Pinhook, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This is the Pinhook Ride On. I like the little wording thing of ride on. I mean, like
R-Y-E, apostrophe D.
Right. It's a 97 proof.
He still has his keep on trekking shirt. So
I think we call that a play on words.
Yeah, I like it though. 48.5% ABV, non chilled filtered, 20% corn, 60% rye, 20% malted barley. The 2020 flagship rye release is the inaugural expression of Pinhook using our proprietary mash bill. Developed, distilled, and aged over 2 years at Castle & Key Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky. Our latest rye was blended and proofed by Sean Josephs, our master distiller. So,
Master taster.
Master taster. Yes.
He's a master blender, taster.
Baiter? He's a fisherman? I didn't know he was a baiter.
Baiter,
like... You are my father.
This has got just a light copper color to it. It's very light compared to some of the other ones that we had. But the thing that gets me on this one is right off the bat on the nose, I get peaches and cinnamon. Almost all peaches. It's very, very unique. On the palate you get.
I say it's apricot.
Apricot?
Apricot is actually coming out.
I say apricot.
Apricot.
Apricot?
So
no, apricot is some sort of weird pecan.
That's what he pees in. Gorilla makes. Oh, you beat me to it.
So yeah, on the palate, you're gonna get peaches, you get toffee.
In the can. It's apricot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get toffee, cherries, a little bit of mild baking spice, and then again on this one, this has got a beautiful finish to it. I just but the peaches follows through from the nose to the finish. That's something.
It's not peaches. Peaches to me are juicier and sweeter. Yeah. This is apricot.
I got cherries.
Apricot.
I got much more cherry on the palate than any peach or apricot or apricot. What do you get, Justin?
Whatever Simeon you like is, you know, fine with me.
I get dry peaches.
I get squirrel monkey
on the palate, and a little bit of clove kicker.
The vest and the organ grinder. Yeah.
And the finish is long, but not my favorite finish. But it's very interesting. Yeah,
I enjoy this.
Please try not to be so wordy.
It is one of it is probably their most interesting one of all of them.
Come on, yes, shut it down.
It's very unique. It's very different.
That's the second time I heard very unique today. Either it's unique or it's not. Unique is a superlative. There's no such thing as very unique. No such thing as very unique. That's the doctor over there and you, the ex-coastie.
I got a literary very Nazi unique. Sitting next to me. Yeah, awesome.
It's either unique or it's not.
Okay.
Write in and not, tell us, folks.
Is that kind of like very pregnant or not?
They're exactly right. See, he gets it now because he put it to his own field.
So if he's a grammar Nazi, like should it. Instead of punching him, should I hit him with like a thesaurus?
Yeah,
hit him.
Hey, come on, iPads
now. Dictionary.
Throw the book at him.
That all smart.
No, it's.
We got one more whiskey.
I get some spearmint.
Do we have time for the last whiskey. You gotta be quick.
Yeah, I get spearmint on this one.
Spearmint.
Yeah, I get the peach, but on the nose, and I get spearmint on it.
God, I hate it. Agreeing with you, Bob.
And on the palate, I get the toffee and I get the clove.
I don't get the toffee.
A little bit of mild baking. Fruit. I get some mild baking spice on the
Again, palate. Add some water.
That's really either.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of spices do you bake with anyway?
Clove and cinnamon.
Mostly garlic and sand. And,
that's what I expect out of you. But
all
I'm
spice
just
and Brent. Nutmeg.
A little bit
and
of
cardamom.
Broken glass. Yeah. You know.
Cardamom. That's good stuff. It's from India.
But it's not in here.
It's nice. Yeah, it's going nice. The right direction.
Well, we're going to be rating the Pinhook Ride On three sips.
Interesting.
Again, another, considering the age.
These are great whiskeys, really look forward to the new ones.
Yeah.
Listen, 2 years, it's really pretty incredible what they've done for a two-year whiskey. Yeah. So you got to give them credit for that.
Well, that's it. I mean, again, all the whiskeys I've had from Pinhook, not just these, but all the ones in past years, they all punch above their weight. You know, right. That's the one
Sean's
thing.
Sean's doing a good job, man.
Yeah.
He's doing a good
job. Previous one, the Tis
Rye
Time, obviously is a little bit older. It's 4 years, but you know they're not dramatically different. And so for 2 years, they're doing well.
The Tis Rye Time punches up with so much more fruit. That you don't get that in this one. You're talking about subtle peach and apricot. The other one was tangerine, man. That was over the top tropical. There's a difference. There's a big difference to me.
All right. Well, let's move on to our last whiskey of the show.
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Are you ready?
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
I'll be glad to tell you what it's about.
There you go.
The Cream of Kentucky brand.
We got a rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
Yes, sir. The brand traces its roots back to the 1880s when it was owned by I. Traeger & Company of Cincinnati. The brand was acquired during Prohibition by Shenley Distillers, who reintroduced the brand in 1934. Cream of Kentucky grew to become one of the leading bourbon brands in the 30s and the 40s. One of the many victims of the decline in popularity of bourbon in the 60s and 70s, the brand ceased production and its trademark was abandoned. Enter Jim Rutledge, former master distiller at Four Roses, who resurrected the brand.
We have too young to retire, Jim. Too young to retire. I'm glad you got back in the game.
We've reviewed several past releases, including their initial release and some of their single barrel products. This one, again, does not disappoint.
You want to read what it is, though?
Yes, of course. Would you like to know? Yeah. This is the Cream of Kentucky Batch number 5, clocking it at 102 proof or 51% ABV for Justin, who's mathematically
one of these days
challenged.
I'm going to write that wrong just to see if any
and
idiots
it's 13 years
out.
Old.
Yeah. It is 13 years old, age stated. So thank you, Harmeet, for pointing that out.
It's got a big gorgeous, 13 right on here on the label, dude.
It's got a gorgeous mahogany color.
It's got Don't mind if I pour some more.
Beautiful traditional nose, toffee, caramel, brown sugar, baking spice. Just a lovely nose. To quote a guy named Bob, I could just sit here and nose this whiskey all day.
Let's have some dead air while we all nose the whiskey.
On the palate.
We're all just sitting here.
You know, you people that are listening, just leave us a lot. Give us a minute.
Give us a minute, please.
We didn't promise every minute would be entertaining. Yeah. Some are for us.
We need some time alone with the whiskey, please.
On the palate, it's beautiful. It's viscous. It's mouth coating. You've got all the traditional flavors of brown sugar and vanilla and toffee. It's just a delightful whiskey. It's well balanced. It's beautifully put together. It's got a beautiful long finish. What can I say? It does not disappoint. It certainly compares nicely to all the previous batches. If you see a bottle, buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Justin, what'd you think?
This is one of the better releases that come out every year, and you can occasionally sometimes find it, which makes it even more special for those people that are able to buy it.
How much?
Oh, three times retail.
We can't talk about price on the show. It's frowned upon by the owner or whatever. But, yeah, the guy who owns the show is going to kill us for the insurance money. But
well, what a way to go. We'll just get the drink.
It's between $100 and $200. How's that?
Again, I think the price is not outrageous compared to some of the things. You're not going to pay these ridiculous secondary prices that you will for some of the other unicorns.
Yeah.
It is attainable, and that's what I like. There's enough of it to go around.
What do you think, Brent?
This, I like to say, is just your classic.
Right.
Classic, you know, 13, 12-year-old, you know, 10-year-old bourbon. It's got all the notes that you want. You just want to sit back, put a little fire out there, just sit.
It's actually a cold and rainy night for South Florida.
I know.
It got into the 60s. I'm wearing
I'm not allowed to do a fire anymore. There's court orders after the.
You know, sit back, relax, just sip this one. And enjoy. You don't need
blip on the EPA radar from all the smoke coming out of your last fire.
Little bit of nip on the nose. You know, it's beautiful. The caramel, the oak, the vanilla, beautiful creamy mouthfeel. I just want to enjoy it.
I'll tell you what. I'll trade you what's left in all my glasses for what's left in your.
I have the bottle right here.
There's the actual bottle. We didn't drink that much of it.
The bottle right here. Oh, I can just drink some more of that.
What cream of Kentucky. Thank you, Jim. You were very generous enough for your
thank you, Jim.
Your marketing people were generous enough to send us a full bottle for the sample.
Yes, so, we appreciate that.
Yeah. So we can share around a second round here.
Right.
No, you can't.
Bob's got a nice warm Kentucky hug.
Call 911.
Yeah, it does that warm Kentucky hug.
It is. It's like Brent said. It's a classic bourbon profile. You know, the caramel is there, the brown sugar is there. Everything that you look for in a classic. But it's just amped up.
It's complex. Yeah. It's super complex, and it's rich.
It's got some layers to it for sure.
Layers and layers of flavor. I mean, wow.
But they're not
flowers and sugars.
What he's doing is he's keeping it true to form.
Yeah.
He's not trying to do something else to it. So there's so many different distilleries and things are trying to, you know, add a finish to it or do something different to make it, you know, stand out.
I swear I get violets on the back palate.
This one stands out by being a classic.
Yeah.
And that's how this one stands out, just by being a classic.
Is that violence or violins?
Violins? Violets. No, it's
violets.
It's floral. It's floral. Yeah. It's floral and it's leathery and it's sugary and there's like bread.
Violets and daisies just underneath the palate.
I can't have carbs anymore.
Look for it.
So this is making me feel good.
There you go.
The sugars are non-digestible.
If whiskey doesn't make you feel good, there's something really broken in your soul. You
this is making me the carbs. This is making me miss the carbs I can't have anymore. This and that Pinhook, which Pinhook was that? The Tis Rye Time, making me miss the carbs I can't have anymore. This is beautiful. Any of you guys doing the paleo diet or the, like, what is it called? What's the other stuff? I'm just diabetic. I can do this stuff.
Keto, paleo.
I'm on the eat less diet. Just eat less of what I ate before.
No.
It's working good.
I'm on a seafood diet. I see seafood, I eat it. Yeah.
Oh, you were finished. Who will allow me to return?
All right, whatever.
We're going to be giving the Cream of Kentucky Batch 5 a well-deserved 4 sips. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or whoever the lady is that talks back to you on your phone to play podcasts, Sip, Size, and Smokes.
My wife talks back to me on my phone all the time.
The government has mine tapped, so it's a dude that answers me whenever I do it. So he works for the FBI. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. And our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip, Suds, and Smokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as
well. Also, we need to know pecan or pecan. Or what was the other one?
Pecan.
Pecan or pecan.
Also check out Brent Moore and myself on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. It's a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and interesting professionals. Want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Skull!
Eddie the Eagle. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. It's been a wonderful day in the basement.
I like it in the basement. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Take off, loser.
Don't give me attitude, sir.
Thank you, Harm.
Thank you, Bob. Oh, by the way, kids, unique or very unique? Is it wrong or is it super wrong?
There's nothing wrong.
Let us know. Very unique is wrong.
All I have to say to you.
Does internet porn know you're cheating on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hate to admit it. I think you're right, Harm.
Well, for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, it's Made Man Bob. Thanks for joining us, and remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.